Powered by Rev Media in partnership with TSN, it is Season 5, Episode 56 of the Rain Dregs Hockey Podcast, presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who have introduced the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series, CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey finish with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Casks. And here we are, Ray Ferraro, both in our home studios. Yes. I did a bit of traveling, as we talked about on our last podcast last week. You did a lot more traveling than I did. But you got home safely after a few days on the road. Any issues? Any travel concerns you can share?
Yeah, there a couple I won't share. I had a Hall of Fame week of flying.
Okay.
Three straight flights.
Yeah.
The first two I will not talk about because, well, the first one I will. Okay. There was, I'd call it an incident where someone's beside me with an overpowering odor.
Okay. An aroma.
An aroma for 45.
A hygiene, potential hygiene issue.
It's not potential.
Okay.
It was over the top and it wasn't just BO.
Yeah.
And there was some issues going on here. That was 45 minutes from Vegas to Phoenix. So anyway, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Second one I will not talk about. Third one was yesterday flying home from Denver. I'm in row two, sit down in my seat. I look over at a guy and his wife in the bulkhead in row one.
Yeah.
He has no shoes on and his feet on the bulkhead wall, which is gross enough.
Yeah.
But his toe, his big toe was wrapped in tape and there was some kind of thing going on there. It was repulsive. But what made it worse was when he went to the bathroom, he didn't put his shoes on.
Stop.
Well, I'm just telling you what I saw.
What?
And
like, what do people like?
Gross.
It's beyond gross. It's beyond like, it is such a pet peeve. Even, okay, it's bad enough when you're sitting in any other seat, right? Like, I mean, if you're sitting in steerage, chances are you're not putting your feet up on the back of the seat in front of you. Unless
it's only the bulkhead row that happens.
Do you not? Like, people are seeing. Like, shouldn't the flight attendants have the authority to say, "Sir, you know, we can't enforce that you put at least socks on or footwear, but you cannot have your bare feet and your Fred Flintstone toe on the walls of the aircraft, please."
I did send that picture to you.
Yes, you did.
Because I thought, like, I can't.
Too bad we can't share it, because if we share it on our socials, chances are
we're not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. It's
so gross. It's just so gross. Oh. And when you think of it, though, like, if the guy had a flip-flop on, you wouldn't even think of it.
No.
You'd go like, yeah, put your foot down, but whatever.
Yeah.
I did not need to see that toe for the flight home.
Bare feet on an airplane, it's one of those things that just flat out grosses me out. Oh, quick aside, because I'm sure you were on this flight, and I think it was 2014. We were flying from LA to New York, the Rangers and the Kings in the Stanley Cup final, and James Duthie is sitting in the window seat. And let's just say there was a very large human in the middle seat, like a mountain of a man. It's sitting in the middle. And I will never forget. We land. Duthie stands up and he looks back. You know, we're sitting like four or five rows behind him. And he is pasty white. Like, he looks like he's going to faint any second. And he's wearing a light gray T-shirt because it's June, right? It's hot in LA and it's probably warm in New York City as well. And half his left side of his body was dark because he was covered, soaked in another human being's sweat. And you remember this?
I have forgotten. I am being reminded. And just the thought of that And the fact, and he had nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
And he felt, look, nobody wants to sit in the middle seat, period. But when you're a big person, you're sensitive to it. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, man, the
And
guy's got to sit somewhere, right?
he's got to sit somewhere. Poor James was bathing in another man's perspiration. Oh, God. The foibles of travel when you're on the road a fair bit. I don't know how I'm going to segue to headlines, but I've got to try and do
Just
that
roll the ball
in
down the
some
road. Yeah.
clean fashion. Apologies to Tim Hortons. Headlines brought to you by our good pals at Tim Hortons, who have, by the way, reintroduced the savory pinwheel, right? The latest addition to the Anytime Snacker platform. And you love this kind of stuff, the buttery, flaky pastries.
It is a something I cannot walk past.
Served warm, they
Yes.
complement a soup, a chili, anything to kind of satisfy your savory cravings. They're available at all participating Tim Hortons restaurants across this great country of Canada and for delivery through the Tim Hortons mobile app. And we're in that time of year now, single digits before the end of the regular season. So we're
Yeah.
focused on the playoff race, and that's what we should be for every episode of Rain Driggs before the postseason begins. So let's again focus our attention on the East. The Pittsburgh Penguins lose in overtime to the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday night, 3-2. Pittsburgh and Detroit now in that wild card chase are tied with 84 points. Detroit has the edge because the Pens, well, Detroit is the game in hand, but Pittsburgh is also 1 point back to the Islanders. For third in the Metro. So the Islanders and the Red Wings have that game in hand, which clearly matters. What's your gut telling you? Like, is Pittsburgh going to find a way? Or, I mean, the deck is stacked against them. They're going to need some help. But is the story good enough where, I don't know, just divine intervention kind of takes over and Sid
Well,
gets the help that he needs to squeak in?
I think it very well Driggs is going to go to the Penguins at the Islanders in the last day of the season. And I looked at the game last night. There were stretches of that game in Toronto where it looked like the Penguins were never going to touch the puck again. Like the start of the second period, there's no whistle until Toronto scored. And the Leafs rolled through their entire lines. The Penguins couldn't change. Like it was a, I think those guys, I think the defense pair was out there the entire period. Like it was 2.5 minutes and they finally scored. And yet that was it, right? Like that until the Matthews power play goal, that's all they had. So like there's these wild swings with the Penguins where they look really good and then they don't look very good at all. But I guess that's what Detroit and the Islanders have looked like too, or else you wouldn't have a race. Like somebody would have run away and salted their spot away. I don't know. They play Detroit again too. I guess those are the all the games matter, all the points matter, but those games are going to determine it. I somehow think that Pittsburgh's going to get in. I don't really know why I think
I'm
that.
with you.
It just kind of
Feels that way.
feels that way a little bit. How about this though? So last night they get to overtime, and Crosby's not on the ice.
Crosby and Malkin.
So as it turns out, like all the players use those quick change blades. And Sid, who is a monster creature of habit, does not. He
Does
doesn't
not.
like them. He doesn't like them. So when he has a skate issue, they got to change skates like we used to do back in the day. And those skates they're not at the ready. They're back in the room. And so he had a skate issue. They had to change it. He couldn't get on the ice. They never touched the puck again.
And
Well,
he
they
was
touched it.
hanging over at the end, right?
Yeah,
Like he
yeah.
was begging for a change and they
Right.
just
Yeah, I
couldn't do
shouldn't
it.
say they didn't have the puck. They had a chance. And then once, Toronto got the puck, that was it. It was in the net. And like what a way to not have him on the ice that, he's got no skate. I mean, like it used to happen quite frequently. That's about as I don't know. I don't know. There can't be 20 guys, 10 guys in the league that don't use
No,
the
there wouldn't be.
switchblades.
So I'm watching on, and then I'm watching our good pals on Sportsnet, right? Like David Amber in the panel with Gazdik and Anson Carter, Justin Williams.
Justin Williams, yeah.
I felt bad for those guys because we've been in that situation before, right? Even Craig Simpson didn't like he was openly asking, geez, it's curious why Solly would go, Mike Sullivan would go with Eller and O'Connor here rather than Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah. It,
But those are the perils of doing live TV, right?
yeah.
So I felt bad for the panel because I've got more or less an unwritten rule. When you're doing live TV, you just got to respond to what you see. That's all you know is what you see. But we tape all the time when we do our panels at TSN, right? Like normally, because you have time, the game ends, it goes to SportsCenter. Now you've got a few minutes, they get through highlights and all that. When it's in a situation like that, you can't skip over why Mike Sullivan didn't have his stars on the ice.
Right.
But I feel like I'm like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like I would ask the question, something must have happened. There must be something going
Yeah.
on. Those
Well,
poor guys didn't know. How would they know?
they're stuck. I mean, you it's happened to anybody
It has.
that's done live TV. Like you only know what you know at the time. And we've had or we've had the situation where it turns out you're just wrong. You're uninformed. And the reason you are is because you're on the air 6 seconds after the game. It's just, yeah, that does stink. But until Sullivan comes out and tells everybody, those four guys weren't the only guys wondering what was going on.
No. Like I'm watching it going, what is he doing here? What is going on? So anyway, we'll see how it plays out in the East. Shift over to the other game on Monday night, and that was Vegas and the Vancouver Canucks. And Thomas Hertl makes his Vegas Golden Knights debut. They fall short to the Vancouver Canucks. Man, he played a ton though, didn't he, for his first game back with 20 minutes, 20 seconds. He played a lot on the power play, played some on the penalty kill. I mean, I don't know what your read is on that one game played, but are you in a place where you just know his game based on what you saw for the years in San Jose and what you saw briefly last night to know that he's just a smart ad by the Golden Knights?
Yeah, the guy is a monster to play against. He's so big and strong. But I will say this, like most guys that come back from a long injury, his first game will be his best. And then he's going to dive for a little bit here till his conditioning, like the adrenaline wears off, and then your conditioning
Becomes
becomes
a
a
problem.
problem. In particular with lower body stuff, he had knee surgery. It takes you a little bit of time to catch speed. I do have to say this, I thought, first of all, I thought it was a really important win for Vancouver. Like they've been teetering a little bit, and the first two shots go in the net. That kid, Artur Schielhoff, is in goal, and it looked like to me like his first NHL game. I happened to be at it. The Rangers came out, he looked like he was a beer league goalie. He was all over the place. And then he just settled in. It's like he, I don't know, he just like he, his nerves went away. And that's kind of what it looked like last night. And that was a really good game. Like JT Miller got his 100th point. Connor Garland has been fantastic for them. But I was in Denver on Sunday night. Dallas is good. Holy smokes, are they good? So
Not a lot of
Dallas.
weakness there.
No, Dallas beat Colorado 7-4, empty netter. Colorado didn't have Rantanen. Saturday, I was in Boston for Florida and Boston. The difference in those two games was literally night and day. Like the East was like the old style East game. It was physical and it was grindy and it was chippy and dirty and hard. And the West game was a track meet. It was fast. And so it's really interesting to be able to see the two styles of play that eventually are going to clash in the final. You know, so it's like it was really noticeable the difference in the two games.
So you've got Vancouver sits five up now on the Oilers in the Pacific. Vegas is one back of the Los Angeles Kings in the Pacific, two back of Nashville for the top wild card. So, yeah, I mean, we know what the playoff picture more or less looks like in the West. There's just a bit of jockeying here that could happen in the remaining games. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
I mean, there, I don't know that anybody would like, what's the freebie series? There isn't one.
Isn't
You
no.
know, like it say if LA and Vegas flip-flop and Vegas ends up third and LA ends up in the wild card, well, does anybody want that? I don't think
No,
so.
no,
And
no.
I don't know that I'd be jumping up and down to play Nashville either.
No.
You know, so it's there's going to be some really good teams, like really good teams that are going to wonder in, 10 days after the regular season, they're going to be wondering, like, where did it all go wrong?
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen for sure.
It looks like it will. Corey Perry and Evander Kane with a spat on the Oilers bench that we all got to see on the weekend. Compliments of the broadcast. So Evander gets an earful. Was that a few weeks ago when Leon Draisaitl kind of tuned him up on the bench in a similar fashion? So apparently, I'm told that Evander Kane and Corey Perry are good buddies. They're pals. So this is just heat of the moment stuff. The line wasn't playing well. Kane turned the puck over at least twice on that shift and then didn't back check early in the second period. And Corey Perry snaps. That's enough of that and gives him the business. I don't know. I mean, is there anywhere to go with this? Does it even matter that it's caught on camera? Because this stuff would happen all the time, wouldn't it? You know, in practice or in the dressing room between periods, all of that.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's more likely to happen on the bench or in
Okay.
practice than in the room, because in the room you've had time to settle down.
Yeah.
And you might go over and say something in the room, like you might go over and
Yeah.
say something as opposed to
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
people could hear. Now, look, we've had Pat Flatley on the pod.
Yes.
I can't tell you if it was twice or five times, but we would get into it on the bench and he would give it to me and I would give it back to him. And poor Benny Hogue was sitting in the middle of us and he'd go, "You guys, my ears, stop it. Would you stop it?" Like I would be, Flats would basically say, "Get away from me. I got the puck. I told you don't come over here. Stay in your spot." And he'd say, like, "Put the puck on my stick." You know, like if I
Yeah.
shoveled a few passes into his feet, which would happen. And I'd say, "Well, if you could skate, you could keep up." And so we would be arguing on the bench, dropping F-bombs, and then you'd go out for the next shift.
Yeah.
But there were no cameras to catch it, or you would have caught it.
Right.
Like every so often, Al would come down and say, "You two have to shut the F up." Like
Yeah.
he was tired of listening to us.
Yeah.
And like you saw, nobody even reacted for Kane and Perry because it was
No.
between those two guys. And yes, you should probably address it in a more workmanlike manner, except in the middle of the game, you're revved up, and that's what happened. And
Yeah.
so to me, it's a non-factor. It's something that happens once in a while in the game. It also has to be the right two guys,
Yeah.
because two other guys might have a problem and they deal with it differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corey Perry dealt with it that way, and Kane's gonna look at him and tell him to beat it, and then
Yeah.
they're gonna finish it, and then they're gonna go play.
I also like Corey Perry's response, right? And I mean, afterwards, he says, "Hey, brothers fight. That's what we do." You know, like he was made available to the media. He answered the question. He wasn't disgruntled or angry or any of that. He just laid it out there so everybody moves on. I'm fine with it.
But
I
yeah,
don't have an issue.
I don't think it's a non-issue.
All right. 14-year-old Landon Dupont, Ray, granted exceptional status on Monday, so he will be eligible to play in the Western Hockey League as a 15-year-old next season. First defenseman ever in the Western Hockey League To be granted such status. Second player ever in the Western Hockey League, of course, Connor Bedard in 2020, yep. The first. The Calgary native says he models his game after Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, and Rasmus Dahlin. It's not bad. 62 points. Mm-hmm. 62 points in 30 games for the Edge Prep School in Calgary. And I should mention, ninth player ever in CHL history to be granted exceptional player status. Now, it's been a long time since you played, torched the Western Hockey League. Mm-hmm. But you imagine playing in the WHL. Then and now is different. I get that.
Yep.
But as a 15-year-old, I remember having this conversation with WHL owners who were still involved in Western Hockey and going, man, you know, when the East would do it, when Ontario would do it, these owners in the West would go, we don't need 15-year-olds playing in the Western Hockey League. They'll be fine when they can play as 16. They're fine. So what do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think?
It is an enormous step. And the step really is that no matter how good the player is, and he's obviously a terrific young kid, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, he did, you know, so that's two times that they've done it, that they've given, yeah, they've granted this status. But at some point, he's going to get hit,
yep,
by a 19 or 20-year-old. And the strength difference, the physical maturity difference is obvious to anyone that's had kids that has seen their children grow through their teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
When all of a sudden you go, oh, they're like an adult. Now, they're still a teenager, but you're like, you can see the way they're built. They're like, oh, he's not just a little guy anymore. And that's really my only concern, is the safety and the health of the player. Because you're in a box and eventually somebody's gonna run into you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Cale Makar played in the Alberta Junior League, and then he went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And Quinn Hughes played in the development program, and then he went to college. And this is an accelerated path. You can say, yeah, Bedard did it, but I certainly don't know enough about, or I don't know anything about this player to say, oh yeah, he could do what Bedard did. The other thing too is, as a defenseman, you're more likely to take some thumps than you might as a forward.
Right.
And so, I will be curious. I'll be watching, but that's my only concern.
Dad Mickey DuPont, which is Mickey was a ninth round draft pick of the Calgary Flames back in 2000, played 20 plus games in the National Hockey League, played some with Calgary, three games with Pittsburgh, two with St. Louis. So there's some pedigree there. So let's hope the best for the young lad.
Has he been, he hasn't been drafted, or is he?
Who's that? Landon? No.
Yes.
Yeah,
so he'll end up likely away from home, right? Like there's another thing is just, so now for the DuPonts, they've got to figure out like how, you know, where does our 15-year-old go and how does
let me check that, because they do have the younger, the bantam draft, right, in the West.
So maybe he's probably drafted last year, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm just trying to find it in here.
This is good. This is good, for people listening while Drake scrolls his phone. This is really solid. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
I can't. Terrible at this kind of thing. This is why we need Ryan Rashog helping us out.
Oh yeah, but he's in the golf simulator. He's actually working on building a canoe at the same time. It's on the workbench.
So here we go. He's eligible to be selected in the prospects draft, which is scheduled for Thursday, May 9th, 2024.
So just another thing to think about.
Yeah. Well, and just to wrap a bow on this, and it doesn't matter. We hope the best for Landon DuPont.
Sure, of course.
You know, obviously, the Western Hockey League believes he can handle it. Otherwise, they wouldn't make him an exceptional player. I just remember, and I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Matthew Barnaby back in the day when I was reporting on the likelihood that Sean Day was going to receive exceptional status. Again, a defenseman, right? And he did, you know, he was given exceptional status in the Ontario League. And, you know, Sean Day, God love him, he's still plodding away. He's still trying to find his way. But that translation from where he was playing to major, junior, to, you know, the National Hockey League, it's a tough one. Why don't we wrap up headlines? I know you saw the hit. And the only reason I bring up Martin Pospisil and the hit on Josh Morrissey is because I was asked about it again yesterday. I mean, this happened last Thursday, I think, you know, in Calgary playing the Winnipeg Jets. What do you think of the hit, first of all? Now, we know he got the major penalty and the 10-minute game misconduct. But what do you think of the hit? Was it close, real close to supplemental discipline?
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. And the fact that it is not a coincidence that the same people are around the same types of plays more often than others.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's a wrecking ball out there.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And I thought it was close.
Yeah.
To it for sure. What did you think?
I thought he did a decent job of making sure that shoulder and elbow was tucked.
Don't you have to have the puck somewhere around you?
Yeah, but like Morrissey looked like he knew he was going to get train wrecked there. So he got rid of the puck.
Yeah.
Almost recklessly and quickly. He's allowed to do that. Yeah. So I know that the Department of Player Safety thought it was really, really close, but they thought also that it was a last minute change of the puck direction.
Okay.
That was the explanation.
That's the explanation. Well, okay. Yeah. So last week as well, where was I? Trying to think which game. It must have been in Vegas. Nikita Zadorov got a boarding penalty, 5-minute major in game misconduct. They reviewed it and he got kicked out. Mm-hmm. And I thought like he didn't travel at all.
Right.
Yeah. Like it was solid, and I thought I could have taken the five without the game misconduct.
Yeah.
2 days later or the next day, there's another hit. Brendan Smith gets hit.
Right.
And how that was a 2-minute penalty. Mm-hmm. And so, as I said, after the Zadorov hit, this is the one thing I think the players would really like to understand is what does a 5-minute hit look like? What's a 2-minute hit look like? And because they don't quite understand that, there's always a frustration with the way the penalties are meted out. I had this thought this week when I was traveling around. You know what I think would be really helpful is if in training camp of next year, if the league hired 4 or 5 retired officials.
Yeah.
And they each got 5 or 6 teams, and they went around on a little tour, and they had a schedule to talk to the teams about, the players about. The teams would submit these are the calls we don't understand the most, and have these officials go around and explain to the players. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how often I hear on the ice, and I know from playing, there's a discussion or an argument going on between the player and the official. And most of the time, the official's explaining the rule to the player.
Right.
Because the rules have changed. And even in the course of your career, sometimes you're arguing. I remember arguing and the referee saying to me, that rule's changed. And I'm like, oh, well, then I'll shut up and go away. I think if there were like 5 or so officials that went around and they broke up the teams, the players would have a better, coaches would have a better understanding of what the parameters are of the calls that are made. I think it could be really helpful.
Well, we saw an exchange that went on and on and on Monday night with Sidney Crosby and the linesman, right? Because he, you know, they had the puck in the offensive zone, and I think he got called on a hand pass.
Right.
And he was arguing, how can you call that from way over there when the guy right beside me didn't call it? And it wasn't a hand. And, I mean, he was hot initially, no question about that. But you can then see as it decelerates, right? But that's the level of respect that Sidney Crosby would have from any official in the National Hockey League. You talk it through, and then ultimately at some point you just move on, right?
Well, and so that also is a little indication of competitiveness and stubbornness.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't going to let it go till he got to whatever answer he wanted to get to.
Yeah. How about a shout out as we leave headlines here to Steve Cazzari, who is thankfully okay. Thankfully, okay. What a scary incident. I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you ever seen that? We see referees get a stick in the face or a puck, or, you know, they'll twist a knee or get caught up in a collision. But that collision at center ice with Hayden Fleury, and then have Cazzari stretchered off. Again, thankfully, he's recovering. He's going to be fine. But he was unconscious for a brief period of time. That was scary stuff.
Yeah, it's rare that both guys would end up in the middle of the ice. Yeah. Look in different directions, right? Like that's the other part of it is they had to be looking in a different direction. Otherwise, one of them would have been able to swerve at the last minute. And, you know, Fleury didn't look that much better, although he never lost consciousness. It was a scary, scary thing. And good news on Steve that he's on the mend.
Yeah, get well, Steve. Those are your headlines. Thank you to Tim Hortons.
Tim's new savory pinwheels. They're buttery, flaky, and come in two delicious flavors. Roasted red pepper and Swiss, and caramelized onion and Parmesan.
I like knowing that I have something ready that tastes great.
Tim's new savory pinwheels.
It's time for Tim's.
Our interviews on Rand Riggs brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey, who've introduced CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, all the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club, with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. We'll take a couple of questions, Ray, and ask Ray and Dregs anything. If you have a query, you can send it to us on X or Instagram at Ray and Dregs, or the website, rayanddregs.com. Got a couple of weird ones for you, okay? Awesome. And I know you always like the quirky. Keith Rajala. Keith says, we constantly hear about wanting to speed the game up, Ray. So why don't the linesmen wave off icing calls where it's a pass that hops over a stick, or it's simply missed, or on the other side when it is within easy reach of the defender? Or if they see the D-man is skating in quicksand, just wave it off. It seems like the league doesn't want to give the linesmen a chance to use their discretion.
As soon as they start doing that, then I don't know whatever is next door to a slippery slope. But that's where we'd be. I mean, there's already debates over icing calls and could they have gotten there? Should it be waved off? Could it have been waved off? Yeah. I don't think it's a rule that they want to tinker with, because discretionary calls always lead to more questions for sure.
All right. One from Dino Kevin Medland. Sounds like he's from Trail. He at least played hockey in Trail. Says, hello, boys. How are you doing? Have a question about an unusual coaching technique. So, Kevin says, I had a coach back in Bantam and Junior in Trail, BC, Norm Dennis.
Oh, guys, yes, man. Of course.
Normie. Every once in a while, he would give us written practices. So we'd show up at the rink. We'd have to go up to the boardroom. He would have five or six scenarios written out on the boards, and we would then have to give paragraph answers, like written answers. So, for example, could be a 5-on-4 in the offensive zone, weak side wing is the puck, and he's going to do this and that. And question could be about any of the skaters on the ice, your team or the other team, and what they should do next, given the play that is unfolding. And he said Norm always had this theory on Wayne Gretzky, that he, of course, did not have eyes in the back of his head. He just knew what everyone else on the ice should be doing at all times, so he knew where to pass and whatnot and to make the play. So just wondering, Ray, if you had any coaches that took an approach like that to overall encourage hockey IQ.
No, and it's Norm was a pretty sharp character. he really was. And I could see him doing that. His view is really interesting, because you could do that, and I think it's a pretty decent idea, actually, is you could do that with a video scenario.
Yeah.
And you could watch the play back it up, watch it again, back it up and watch it a third time. And have, if you want players to write it down, if that's what you want to do, and say, what are the options for all five guys here?
Hmm.
And just write it down. It doesn't have to be long. Just where could all five guys go? Give me two options for each guy. And you watch the play back and forth. You could do it with four or five plays, both offensively, defensively, and maybe a neutral zone. And it's pretty I bet it would be pretty interesting how many different things people would see in that play. I think it's a really good idea.
And if a player obviously doesn't understand it, well, that's identified in how he answers the question.
Sure.
And all that tells you as a coaching staff is, all right, well, we just have a little bit more work to do here with this player.
Yeah. Here's the one thing. Guys will default to what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they never make a mistake, the coach can never teach them. The coach can never help them.
Yeah.
And so that just jogs up. Last night, Rick Tocchet said, or Connor Garland and Rick Tocchet have had a long history together, back to Arizona, now here in Vancouver. Garland played his 400th game last night. So Talk was asked about him, and he said, when I was in Arizona, I said to Connor Garland, you'll never be a 17-minute-a-game player. And Garland said to him, well, you better make me that.
Wow.
And I was like, that is awesome. It's really amazing that a young guy would say that to a coach. But it's also like that goes to the coach, to what we're talking about here. You have to help the player.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you're back there and you're pointing out what they do wrong. It's like, okay, this is what didn't happen. Here's what could happen. And that's why that scenario laid out here is really a pretty interesting one.
It is. Thank you for that, Kevin. One final question. Ask Rand Riggs anything from X and Shane Oliver. And he says, don't laugh too hard, fellas, but I would love to see 1 versus 16 in the playoffs. Here we go, right? 1 versus 16. Okay. Round one is a best of five where the first three games are at home. So you knock out the bottom eight teams in the first week of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The issue with this, among other things, is financial, right? Every owner in the league is like, no.
No.
More games, please.
You mean to tell me I give up my home game?
Yeah.
And by the way, so first place team in the league right now is the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, the 16th team is Detroit in the moment. That's a short flight. What if the 16th place team is Anaheim? That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Well, there you go. He did preface it by saying, don't laugh too hard. We didn't laugh too hard, but we did have a chuckle.
Do you remember, Drakes? You will, I'm sure.
Yeah.
When Edmonton made the playoffs the first time, they were the 16th seed.
Yeah.
And they played Montreal in a was it a best of three? It might have been a best of three. And Edmonton knocked them out.
Yeah.
And it was, at the time, I remember it being, maybe I'm misremembering a bit here, but I think it was just a wild scenario that could even happen.
Well, this is equally wild.
Yeah, but this is 40 years later. So, like, a best of three, that would have been, could you imagine? You play 82 games and it's a best of three. Yeah, good luck. Wow.
It's not minor hockey. All right, Shane, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
That was awesome.
Ask Ray and Riggs.
Yeah, I like that. Those were good.
Quirky ones. Yeah. Well, so this time of year, it kind of conjures up that sort of stuff. All right. What's your week like? Lots of travel? Very little?
I'm in it now. Like, the busy, busy time. So I got a home game Wednesday, my last Canucks game. Really enjoyed working with John Shorthouse.
And, nice.
He's so good, and it's really been fun. So I get a game Wednesday here in Vancouver. Friday, I fly to Pittsburgh for Boston-Pittsburgh on Saturday. Yep. And then I'm in Florida for Toronto, Florida. Then I go back to Denver for Edmonton, Colorado to finish the season. And then I got 2 days off and then the playoffs start. And we don't, of course, know where we are until things are finalized. I assume New York and or Boston, but not sure yet.
Nice. So I got an idea as we wrap up the pod.
Let's wrap up the pod
the way we started the pod with, again, your experiences of air travel and the dude bare feet with the bandage on his toe, feet up on the bulkhead, all that nonsense. Maybe you should carry, I mean, you stay in nice hotels normally when you travel.
I stay wherever they tell me to stay.
Yeah, but I mean, probably on more than one occasion, you know, you end up with the hotel slippers. If you were to take said hotel slippers from the hotel, would you get charged? Carry them in your, like they're flat. You could just tap Buddy on the shoulder and say, hey, here, I've got some hotel slippers. Can you help us out here, please?
Drakes, I sit in my seat and I just want to get to the next place. I am not what am I, the concierge?
Yeah.
Carrier, you know, like, no, I'm not carrying the slippers. By the way, the Marriott Bonvoy slippers.
Yeah.
They come in a little plastic wrapping thing.
Yeah.
I would say I've got more than a few pairs here. I guess I could go buy my own slippers, but I like them. Slide them in.
By the way, was this a morning flight or was it the red eye with
morning
feet? Okay. Morning. So how do you enjoy the omelet with the sauce and everything while you're staring at
I'm on
that?
This new thing. I read about it. And so I'm trying it. Is when you fly on that day to control your food intake.
Yeah.
Is you don't eat until dinner, basically.
Oh, wow. Like lunch?
No, because I leave at 6 a.m, say.
Yeah.
I was coming from Denver. I got home at 9:30. I can wait to eat my own food at 9:30. I don't need to eat the airplane stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. So I didn't eat. But when I go to Boston, by the time I land, it's like if I leave at 6 a.m, it's, I don't know, it's 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only 1:30 here.
Yeah.
I can do that. Yeah, I have a coffee. I have my vitamin drink and, kind of meander my way through the day. Two things I try not to do. Eat a lot of the airplane food and not eat 3 bags of M&Ms because that's kind of like the other part of my downfall of that stuff. I just like that stuff.
All right. Well, we'll check back later in the week and see if the trend has continued for you in some of your
It'll continue this week because I'm not flying until after we tape the next
Friday.
Show. So
that's right.
So there you go.
I wasn't entirely thinking that through.
No, you didn't really. But that's. Do you think I'm thinking everything through over here?
No,
not at all.
All right, buddy. Well, we've got a great couple of weeks of guests coming up, so we're not going to say more than that. Let's just leave it at that. Nice little tease. I'll look forward to next episode on Thursday, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody, and enjoy the playoff scramble because it's going to be fun until we get to the big dance.
And thank you to our sponsors who continue to support Ray and Dregs, our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. And as always, yes, thank you for rating, for sharing, for listening, and for following us on the Ray and Dregs YouTube channel as well. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.